T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
Welcome in to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen still enjoying his All-Star weekend. Dan Plucker, usually the executive producer of the big show, filling in for him, talking to you about a huge Brewers win. Sweep! The Brewers sweep the Reds to start off, coming back from that All-Star break. And what a game it was for Corbin Burnes, who was lights out on the mound and was an error away from Rowdy Tellez of pitching the first complete game since like 2018 with Jimmy Nelson. It's been a while, Brewers fans. We were so close to it. We were almost there. But what a game it was from him, and what a game as well from Willy Adames. We'll get into it. What a fantastic performance today from your Milwaukee Brewers. And I look at this series with the Reds as a 7-game series, because remember, they played the Reds right before the All-Star break as well. And the Reds had an opportunity to gain some serious ground against your Milwaukee Brewers in this last week and a half, 2-week period. And in that first series of the 4-game set they had before the All-Star break, the Reds win 3 out of 4. And you're thinking, oh boy, this series out of the gate from the All-Star break is going to be massive for the Brewers if they want to keep a commanding lead in the NL Central. Well, folks, you got to sweep. The Brewers are like, nah, it's all business today. It's all business now going forward. They sweep the Reds, and even a loss today, if they would have lost today, it would have still been a win. They would have won 3 out of the 7 games against the Reds in this stretch, which would have been fine, I guess. But it would have been a 5-game difference in the NL Central, with the Reds only 5 games back. With the win, it seems so much bigger than that, with the Brewers now with a 7-game stranglehold on the NL Central, it seems right now. 7 games. The Brewers have a 7-game gap between them and the next team in the NL Central with the sweep that just happened in the last 3 days. And they are 2 games, 3 games, 4 in that range, because the Giants and Dodgers have played a few less games than your Milwaukee Brewers. They're in that range, 3-4 games of the best team in the National League. That's how close that they are to being the best team in baseball. And right now, with a performance like you get from Corbin Burnes in a day like today, with Willy Adames continuing to hit the cover off the baseball, and with Christian Yelich seemingly, cross your fingers, heating up with the play he's had in the last 2 days, they may be the best team in baseball right now as it sits anyway. They are playing phenomenal baseball right now, are your Milwaukee Brewers, and we're here to talk about it. Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. And we're going to get into this a little bit more because we are 12 days away, less than 2 weeks from the trade deadline. And I think now is the time more than ever for them to go out and get a bat, ride this momentum, ride this wave, add to your team, and just dominate the Central for the rest of the season and really make a push to be the best team in baseball heading into the postseason. Think of how spectacular that sounds. You got the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals, a game away from winning a championship, and your Brewers playing baseball at the top of Major League right now. At the top of the Major Leagues right now. They're playing phenomenal baseball right out of the All-Star break. It didn't take them time to get going. It didn't take them time to realize how important this series was with the Reds. No. Straight business right out the gates. And before we get into the recap, let's get out to Ken in West Bend. Ken, you're on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball post-game show with Dan. How's it going?
Dan, I normally start off with Tim, and I always do the same thing every time I call in. You know what that is, Dan?
What's that?
Hang on.
Cracking open a beer for me?
You got to crack a beer for another big win like this.
Absolutely.
You get to this point in the season, and the Brewers, who control their own destiny right now, this is outstanding. When you're talking about the trade deadline coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are the Brewers going to be making trades? You better believe they are.
You bet. Absolutely.
They still realize that they've got a problem at first base, as well as guys have platooned and filled in there since my self-proclaimed dub name for my first baseman, Pork and Beans, Vogelbach, because he's such a big dude,
yep,
has gone on a DL. You know, they've had problems there. You know, Tim, I know how much Tim likes Keston Hira, but I said, don't hit your wagon to that guy. He can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
So what Stearns has been doing has been masterful. When the guys can't hit, gets rid of them. And that's what you got to do. You realize what you got with your pitching staff. You got to bring bats in that can consistently put the ball on the grass. And once you're doing that, you're going to continue to build your lead. Get yourself ready for the big push coming up here. So the Brewers right now control everything. And Stearns knows it. The club knows it. Look at Willy Adames. What a great pickup that was.
Just insane how well they've played with Willy Adames since they've gotten Willy Adames. Like, truly incredible. They were hovering right around 500, and now they're sitting, after today, 17 games above 500? 17 games above 500. That is absurd.
500, and like I told Tim, when they were 14-4 over after last weekend, I said, Tim, you tell me anyone in the MLB, okay, all the so-called experts, even everybody in Wisconsin that picked the Brewers to be 14-500 with a four-game lead going into the All-Star break, I said, I'd give you an hour to draw a crowd and kiss your hinder twice on the most busy avenue in this state. The fact of the matter is nobody picked them.
So right.
What they're doing is incredible. So as they continue to move forward, and you see guys like JBJ, I think he realizes he could be one of the guys on the block.
He could be.
You got to start turning your hands over, kid, consistently. They're paying you a lot of money to hit. It's time to figure it out.
Yep.
The other guys are coming through. As Wong comes back in the lineup, Kane, and you get Vogelbach back, and the moves that they're going to make, and they're going to make moves. I truly believe they're going to get some more pitching. And what if the Brewers do something that absolutely stuns the MLB? And this is what I'm going to put out there. What if the Brewers actually tell the Cubs, we want Kimbrel, right? Now people are going to say I'm crazy, but here's why I say this. If you have that 1-2 punch of closers with Hader and Kimbrel, oh my God, hang on. Are the Brewers one of the five that are maybe looking at Kimbrel that want to pay him the money? This team wants to win a World Series. Why wouldn't you consider that, right?
Yeah,
Call me crazy.
Everything is on the table when there's a World Series on the line. And right now, the Brewers are right there. Ken, really appreciate the call. Good conversation there.
Yep.
And yeah, that I think that Kimbrel's a lot of money. But if David Stearns decides to go all in, and we've had Rick Schlesinger on the big show, on shows throughout the station, and he has said that they have the money, they have, David Stearns will have the free rein to go get whoever he needs to go get if they're in line for a World Series. And right now, with the way that they're playing, with the way their pitching staff has been, with the way Corbin Burns is dominating baseball right now with his arm, they're right there, folks. And so if that means they're going to go out and they're going to spend money at the trade deadline, and they know they're going to bring in a big salary, but it means that they're that much closer to winning a World Series. This might be the year that they pull a trigger on something like that. It might not have been in the past. But when you have a starting rotation of Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns for every single series in the playoffs, you have those three pitchers going up against any other team's three pitchers. I'm taking the Brewers. Those three, I'll take the three of them in that three-man rotation over anybody else in Major League Baseball today. 414-799-1250, what trades would you like to see your Milwaukee Brewers make? That's the question, because I'm interested to see the names that some of you are going to pull out of a hat, because I've got a couple in my back pocket as well. I'll admit, Ken, Craig Kimbrell was not one of them, but I can respect that. Maybe they'll package something together with Kimbrell and a Chris Bryant or something, and that's just the two players the Brewers get in a deal, and they get a little bit of money knocked off, or a little bit of a return knocked off because they're taking on Kimbrell's contract. I don't know. We'll see. That's the fun part about this. Enjoy this journey. Enjoy this ride. I feel like there's been such a mistake of Milwaukee Bucks fans so far, is that they haven't really enjoyed this process, this run that the Bucks have been on to the NBA Finals. For the Brewers, I feel like it's completely different. I feel like everybody is just loving watching the Brewers right now, even though they are sitting second fiddle to the Bucks as we speak right now. But those of you who are out there like me, like Tim Allen, like Evan Heffelfinger, who's along with us today, watching every single Brewers game, we are just enjoying these moments. We're just enjoying watching this team develop and continue to develop into one of the premier franchises and teams in baseball. Nobody's out there going, oh, fire Craig Counsell, like Bucks fans are saying, fire Coach Bud. Nobody's out there saying, oh, Willy Adames is a Robin and he's not good enough and all this junk. No, nobody's saying that. We're just enjoying this. And because we are enjoying that, you can open up a whole world of possibilities with this trade deadline coming up. And it's all on the table. I can't tell you that they're not going to go out and trade anybody or do any of this stuff, because it's all on the table. The Brewers are at the top of baseball right now, and they're in a position to add as much as they want or as little as they want at the trade deadline. And either way, I'm pretty sure fans are going to be pretty okay with it, because there's justifiable reasons for both sides. I think we all want to see the big Trevor Story trade or Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell trade. But at the same time, if they say, hey, we're going to stand pat on offense because we love who we have coming back, we haven't had a healthy roster pretty much all season, I'd respect the heck out of that. I would. Let's get to one more call here before we hit a quick break and go out to Trav in Brown Deer. Trav, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going, bud?
Hey, what's up?
You know what? The only thing, you know, this season, we should have the trifecta, you know?
The trifecta. What do you mean by that?
What? Because the Bucks are going to win it.
Oh,
the
okay.
The Bucks are going to win it. And the Packers, I'm sort of scared about.
But we could have the trifecta, Trav. I see what you're talking about. Appreciate the call, Trav. Yeah, and that's very true. I mean, we're talking about maybe having two parades in the city of Milwaukee in one season. Like, that is not outside of the realm of possibility. And when you're talking about a Brewers team that outside of the last 3 years has not been a fantastic team for quite a while, and a Bucks team that won 15 games a couple seasons ago, that's pretty crazy to say. We're going to hit a quick break here at 414-799-1250 if you want to break down the game with me, Dan Plucker, filling in the seat for Tim Allen today. But when we come back, I'll go over kind of everything that happened in this game, recap this ball game, and get some more of your calls at 414-799-1250 coming up next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan, call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
After the last pitch, you make the switch to 1250 AM The Fan. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen today. And it's a pleasure to be with you after an 8-0 win for your Milwaukee Brewers in Cincinnati to finish up the sweep of the Cincinnati Reds coming out of the All-Star break. And let's get right into the recap of this game, because a lot happened in this game. The Brewers squandered some big moments early and then took advantage of them late. But in the grand scheme of things, they could have had one run and still won today with the way that Corbin Burns was on the mound, because he was just lights out tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. I guess this afternoon, not really tonight. But in the first inning, very first batter of the game, Sonny Gray hits Jace Peterson on a 2-0 count. He steals second, and then Urias lines one into left for a base hit. It's now first and third, no outs. A ground ball from Christian Yelich to third gets snagged, and Peterson's caught in between third and home, but he plays just enough pickleball for Urias to get to third and Christian Yelich to get to second with only one out. So second and third now, Willy Adames draws his first walk of three in the game, and the bases are loaded for Rowdy Tellez. He gets hit by a pitch again on an 0-2 count, the second time in the inning that that's happened. And the Brewers take a 1-0 lead with the bases loaded. It's Tellez's first RBI since joining the Brewers on July 6th. Down 0-2, Tyrone Taylor had a great at-bat, fought off a bunch of pitches, but then eventually struck out. And Jackie Bradley Jr. grounded out to the pitcher to end the inning. Only one run for the Brewers in an inning where the bases were loaded with one out. Kind of a little bit frustrating early in this game, especially because of the lack of run support we've seen for Corbin Burns for large portions of this season. And Burns, to start off the gate, he looked pretty good too. He walked Jonathan India, but after that 1-2-3 inning for him, top of the second, Pena strikes out. Burns helps himself out with an infield single on a swinging bunt down the third baseline. Peterson flies out. Urias draws a walk. So again, first and second, two outs, another opportunity maybe for the Brewers with the runner in scoring position, and Christian Yelich grounds out to second to add the inning, to end the inning. Bottom of the second, the Reds, 1-2-3, again, Corbin Burns lights out all game long. Top of the third, it was a 1-2-3 inning. Actually, it was not a 1-2-3 inning. Top of the third, Adames ripped one off the glove of Suarez at third, but he was unable to score. So a leadoff man on base again for the Brewers, and nothing comes of it. Bottom of the third, Burns strikes out Freeman, strikes out Sonny Gray, and then strikes out Jonathan India, striking out the side for Corbin Burns. Top of the fourth inning, Brewers, 1-2-3 inning. Let's go to the bottom of that fourth inning, and Jesse Winkler hit one for Winker. They have Bart Winkler on my mind today on a Sunday afternoon. Hits one deep to left field, but Christian Yelich gets under it for the out. And then Joey Votto gets the first base hit of the game on a liner to right field. Tyrone Taylor making a diving effort, so close, but he trapped the ball, unfortunately, for the first hit of the game. For a while there, I mean, it was 9-up, 9-down for the Brewers at this point, for Corbin Burns at this point. And I was thinking, you know, like, if there's ever a day for Corbin Burns to throw a no-hitter, today would be a pretty cool day with me, Dan Plucker, filling in for Tim on the postgame show. It didn't happen, but he was dang close to getting a complete game today as well. Top of the fifth inning, Sonny Gray strikes out Peterson to lead off, and then Urias singles to center. Advances to second base on an error by Akiyama in center. Christian Yelich strikes out. So now there's two outs here. Willy Adames to the plate again, draws his second walk of the game. Rowdy Tellez walks, so it's the bases loaded, still two outs, and the Brewers finally knock in a few runs right here on this clip.
First pitch, swing and a base hit into left field. They score a couple of runs. Urias is in, following is Adames, and the Brewers do cash in. Tyrone Taylor.
Yep, first pitch. Looked like an off-speed pitch, and able to find a hole in the left field. There's a big two-out hit for the Brewers.
Man, Tyrone Taylor just continues to show up in some of these big moments. For this young kid who's been up and down pretty much all season long to continue to do what he does in big moments, it's pretty enjoyable to watch. And with Lorenzo Cain and Colton Wong and Vogelbach coming back, it's going to be interesting to see how they manipulate this lineup and if there's a spot for another outfielder with Tyrone Taylor going forward. And same thing for Tellez, too. I mean, Rowdy, they made that trade, but is he here for the long term? Like, what are they going to do at first base with two left-handed bats in Tellez and Vogelbach, and then Keston Hira? I don't think there's room for three first basemen either. It's going to be some interesting roster manipulation that they're going to have to do. Next batter, though, in this inning, we're in the top of the fifth. JBJ clears the bases with this triple.
Here it is. And there's a smash down the right field line. That'll be extra bases. That'll score a pair. Bradley turns second, digging for third. And a two-run triple for Jackie Bradley Jr. to make it a 5-0 game.
That's exactly what Jackie Bradley needed right there. Got a fastball in on it.
And at about 2 o'clock at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, the sun sets as Sonny Gray leaves the game. His final numbers, 4 2/3, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. Ryan Hendricks comes in relief and strikes out Pena to end the inning. But still, 5-0 Brewers. They open the game up in the top of the fifth inning. And with the way Corbin Burnes is throwing the baseball, the game seems long over already. Tucker Barnhart starts off the bottom of the fifth with a single, but then 1-2-3 after that, Burnes picks up his 7th strikeout of the game. Kionel Perez comes in for the Reds. Aquino moves to center. It's a 1-2-3 inning for the Brewers. Bottom of the sixth inning, India leads off with a single, but then right away, Jesse Winker grounds into a double play, and Burnes does his thing, strikes out Joey Votto to end the inning. Top of the seventh, and the Brewers are looking to add a little bit more fuel to this fire as their offense is red hot, and Christian Yelich does just that.
Games and innings on his legs, essentially starting over since he's been on the IL since June 1st.
It's Christian Yelich sending one deep to center field. There you go. It is gone. Christian Yelich over the wall in center field. We talked about it last night, his work in the late innings. Maybe that'll get him going. And a home run for Yelich, his 6th of the year.
Yeah, his first home run for Yelich since the end of June.
It's been a while since we've seen a home run from Christian Yelich. But with what he's done in the last two nights, hopefully we're going to see some vintage Christian Yelich down the stretch here. And how huge would that be for this Brewers team if he can continue to produce like he has the last two games? A couple base hits and a couple RBIs yesterday, and now a home run today, opening it up to a 6-0 lead. Adames walks the very next batter. Tellez strikes out swinging at a pitch in a dirt. Tyrone Taylor strikes out. JBJ singles to center. It's first and third, two outs, but Manny Pena grounds out to short to end the inning still. 6-0 Crew heading into the bottom of the seventh, and Corbin Burnes just continues to do his thing. He strikes out Suarez, and then Barnhart lines out to end the inning. Another 1-2-3 inning under Corbin Burnes' belt at just 83 pitches through 7 innings and 9 strikeouts. Headed to the top of the eighth, Sean Doolittle, who's just been a great pitcher in Major League Baseball for a long time, comes in the Brewers' 1-2-3 inning. But Corbin Burnes does bat, which means he's coming back in for the bottom of the eighth, and he strikes out the side for his 10th, 11th, and 12th strikeouts of the game. And we're all thinking it, complete game? Could this be the first complete game we've seen in 2 years, 3 years for the Milwaukee Brewers since Jimmy Nelson back in 2018, I believe, was the last? Could we finally see it? And we get a little tease of it in the top of the ninth. Christian Yelich gets a base hit. And then Willy Adames, the red-hot shortstop, the guy that has helped the Brewers propel to 17 games above 500, hits this home run to open up the game even further.
And Adames with a fly ball hit back into deep right center field, and it's gone! Second home run of the series for Adames. His 11th as a Brewer. He's now driven in 37 as a Milwaukee Brewer.
Just amazing. The opposite field power for Adames.
All highlights are courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. As the guys were just saying there, 37th RBI for him, and he's hitting .306, right above that, I think, after today, since he's come to Milwaukee as well. What Willy Adames has done for this team has been nothing short of spectacular, and the Brewers stay hot, sweep the Reds today, and we head into the bottom of the ninth. Like I said, we got a little tease because they got to the 8 hole in the lineup, Manny Pena, and we're watching Corbin Burns put on a helmet, grab a bat. We're all thinking, let's go. He's going to come out for the 9th inning. But then Craig Counsell goes and tells him to sit down, and you hear that Angel Perdomo is warming up in the bullpen, and you're like, no! We just want to see this complete game. Shout out. Please, Craig, just let it happen. And Manny Pena flies out to right field, and I think across baseball, all Brewers fans were like, thank you, Manny Pena, for getting out so that Corbin Burns gets an opportunity at this complete game shutout. Burns still in the game, bottom of the 9th inning, just under 100 pitches to start, and he gets Jonathan India to ground out to Urias, the first out of the inning, so he's now 8 1/3 through. But then Winker singles to center field. And you're like, oh, now might be the time Craig pulls it on him. But no, he stays in the game. Votto sends one on the ground to Tellez, and he has an opportunity for a double play to end it for the complete game shutout. But he airmails it. He airmails it, and it's just so painful to watch because we all know that Burns deserves this complete game shutout, the very first of his career. First and second now, one out. But Counsell stays in the dugout, leaving Corbin Burns out there. Ground ball right to second base, but Adames makes a fantastic play. A great snag, but just had to rush the throw, and it was offline just a little bit that Tellez had to pull his foot. And now the bases are loaded, and Corbin Burns is at 108 pitches, and Craig Counsell decides to call it. And it was probably the right decision, as frustrating as it was, but one swing of the bat and your lead's cut in half, and Corbin Burns has the whole rest of the season ahead of him, but it's still so disappointing. He was so close to giving us that complete game, but he landed just short of it. Still a fantastic day for Corbin Burns, and Cy Young caliber day for Corbin Burns. 8 1/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, 5 hits, just the 1 walk to the leadoff batter in the game, 108 pitches, and that Angel Perdomo, who we said was warming up in the pen, comes in, strikes out the last 2 batters of the game to finish this thing off, and your Milwaukee Brewers sweep the Cincinnati Reds in a huge series that puts the lead in the NL Central back up to 7. And Burns, like, let's just talk about how phenomenal Corbin Burns was. He had everything going. His cutter was making people look silly. His curveball hitting the dirt and players still swinging at it. And that nasty slider just coming in all over the place throughout the night to strike out batters left and right. 12 strikeouts on the day. He was phenomenal today. And it was huge where the Brewers have had to use 10 bullpen arms already in this series in the first 2 games. Short stints from both Hauser and Woodruff the last couple of days. And injuries already riddling that bullpen with Devin Williams being out. And Boxberger, who knows what happened to him yesterday. But he only got 1 out in the game yesterday. But still, that just... makes today's performance from Corbin Burns even more important for him to go that deep into the game and give that just extra day of rest for the bullpen, because they're off tomorrow too, the Brewers are. And that extra day of rest for this bullpen for everyone outside of Angel Perdomo, absolutely huge. And one other thing, which is maybe the wildest thing that I heard on the broadcast today, but it's true. Today was Corbin Burns' first ever start against the Cincinnati Reds, which is just crazy to think about because he's been a starter in this rotation the last 2 years plus. He had a couple of starts in the past. And you're thinking, really? This was his first time going out there and starting against the Reds? But yes, it was. He's showed up in relief a couple of times, but this was the first time he started against one of their division rivals, one of their biggest opponents in the NL Central. And he does that. 8 1/3 inning, 12 strikeouts, and a fantastic performance for Corbin Burns. But there's still a little more to come. That is the MLB trade deadline and helping out this Brewers pitching staff even further. Corbin Burns averages just 3.5 runs per game in support. And after today, that number is going to be inflated a little bit with the 8 runs. So it's probably closer to 3.84 runs probably after today. In that range. And is that enough? I don't think so. The Brewers can still add more to their offense at the trade deadline and make this team even better. And we'll talk about the pros and cons of that MLB trade deadline coming up next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway. I'm Dan Plucker, filling in the seat for Tim Allen. We'll be right back.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Postgame Show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
It's Dan Plucker filling in the seat for Tim Allen today. After the last pitch, you make the switch to 1250 AM The Fan and the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show. And the Brewers win. They sweep the Reds 8-0, all thanks to this hit by Jackie Bradley Jr. clearing the bases.
Here it is. And there's a smash down the right field line. That'll be extra bases. That'll score a pair. Bradley turns second, digging for third. And a two-run triple for Jackie Bradley Jr. to make it a 5-0 game.
That's exactly what Jackie Bradley needed right there. Got a fastball in on it.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Yeah, and the question today for Craig Counsell is going to be, how close were you to just leaving Corbin Burnes in there? And how close were you to pulling Corbin Burnes before he even headed out there for the ninth inning? Corbin Burnes, a fantastic start, 8 1/3, 12 strikeouts, 5 hits, 1 walk, no earned runs. His longest performance of his career. His previous high was 7 1/3, and also his first start ever against the Cincinnati Reds. You'll hear about that and much more here from Craig Counsell.
Craig, with how much you used the pitching, the bullpen last night, I mean, this was about as much as you could ask from Corbin, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is why I think we're able to kind of put together good streaks, is that it's guys picking each other up. So our starting pitching has been able to really pick us up at times this year. And on a day when we needed, you know, length from our starter, and it would really help us, and we got an unbelievable performance, an unbelievable effort. So he was really, really good today. The first inning was, you know, he wasn't quite in sync the first inning, and then innings 2 through 8, it was really 2 through 9. He was on cruise, really. It was just every pitch executed, ahead in the count, just really, really good.
Craig, it was mostly strikeouts and groundouts for Corbin today. What do you think was the key for him? What pitch was working the best?
Well, it always starts with his cutter for sure. That's where it starts, and he was just locating it really well today, throwing it in the strike zone. Kind of changeup got going as the game went on, to some of the lefties. The slider to the righties was good, so the breaking ball to the righties was good. So, when you have a day like that, everything's working.
What's enabled this team to play as well as it has away from home this year? I think y'all are near tied or have the best road record in baseball now.
Yeah, there's not an explanation for that. You play a good baseball game, and that's what happens. We get into that all the time. Day game records, road records. It's just playing good baseball.
Craig, how tricky were the decisions late with Corbin and the pitch count and the score and, you know, wanting him to go the distance?
Yes. I mean, it was, as he came in from the eighth, he's definitely going back out there. The ninth got a little long. If we got to a spot, I was going to hit for him, but, you know, we made some outs there. And so he was doing it with such ease, and you know, the pitch counts every inning. I think 15 was the most pitches he had after the first inning. So he was just doing it with such ease, and he was executing so well. Even though he was, I think he was in the upper 90s or something going in there that inning, it didn't feel like it. Right. So that's where we were at with it. As when they got the bases loaded, it was good enough. I mean, he did his job that inning. He got a couple ground balls, just didn't work out.
With Christian's at bats last night and then the homer today and another hit, do you think that's something for him to build off of just to start the second half?
Yeah, again, it's, you know, doing something to help us win. Homers feel good for everybody. I don't care who you are. Nobody hates hitting homers. So that makes you feel good. But, you know, you can go up and down the roster this series when you sweep it, and people did good things and people helped us win. A lot of guys helped us win. So a lot of guys are off to a good start for the second half.
The way you guys were able to come in and sweep the Reds after the way the series ended in Milwaukee, what does that say about your group?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look, you know, on the front end of this 7-game series, and it's a divisional opponent that's chasing you, and so the games are important. And we held our own, as the group of the games, we held our own. They played a good series in Milwaukee. We played a really good series here. And also we're kind of back where we started. And we just got to see what's in front of the Kansas City Royals or the next team in front of us. And that's what we start focusing on.
Tyrone, a couple more hits today. Just what's been working for him, and just how important has he been and Jace been just in terms of being able to deal with all the injuries you have around the lineup with Travis Lowe?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Jace has worked his way into playing pretty regularly here, and deserves to do so. He's just getting on base at a great clip. He started off our first inning, just taking a hit by pitch there. Tyrone had a lot of chances today with men on base. He had a good first at bat that ended in the strikeout, unfortunately, but got another chance, and that was him and Jackie's hit were the big hits of the game, certainly. But we had some really good at bats that inning as well. Rowdy had a nice at bat that inning to walk. So we had a bunch of good at bats that inning. Tyrone's doing his job. He's doing the job of a fourth outfielder, doing the job of a pinch hitter, and doing it very well.
Craig, when you got in, we didn't get a chance to ask you this morning. When you got in last night and saw your phone, what did you think when you saw the Bucks score?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. I didn't have any idea that they won or anything. The game was there was a lot going on last night with the game, so I didn't get to pay any attention to the game. And it was a thrill. I think we're all excited. The whole clubhouse is excited. We're excited they moved the game. I talked to David last night, and they said they were hoping to move the game. I said, we all want it moved. Please move the game. We want to watch it. Or hopefully some guys get to go to it. So it's huge for the city. It's huge for the state. We'll try to take care of business Tuesday, and then we'll be Bucks fans. Absolutely be Bucks fans. And I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm not sure what my plans are, but I got my daughter texting me like, get tickets. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You have connections.
Well, it's just a thrill, man. It's a thrill. This is, you know, to be so close to be down 2-0 and do what they've done. We're all excited. We really are. I mean, the clubhouse is excited for them. I know that we've been talking about it a lot, and we're thrilled and happy for the city and happy for all the fans. It's a really, really cool thing.
It is a very, very cool thing. And also a cool thing was Corbin Burns' performance tonight and your Milwaukee Brewers sweeping the Reds. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen. When we come back, we're talking to you about the MLB trade deadline, some names that I think maybe the Brewers should be looking at. You can call in with a couple names of your own at 414-799-1250. And Craig Counsell was right. He Christian Yelich, if his bat comes back, this Brewers team is in a much better position and maybe would be an excuse for them not going and getting a bat at the deadline. We'll talk about that and more next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
We'll go inside the clubhouse in just a second here. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen. But first, I want to reference something that is just absolutely hilarious. 4 days ago, Cincinnati Reds on Twitter tweet, "So you mean to tell me the Reds open the second half with three games against the Brewers at Great American Ballpark, only four back in the Central." That's what they tweeted. At Dan Plucker, P-L-O-C-H-E-R on Twitter, I respond, "Sweep! Hashtag this is my crew." Back up to seven games is the Brewers' lead in the NL Central, and the Reds seem so far away right now. That gap only got larger than it was before the seven-game series against the Reds pre- and post-All-Star break. Your Milwaukee Brewers have been great, and the Cincinnati Reds are dumb for tweeting something like that out. Have they not learned? That's going to be old takes exposed. All that fun stuff is going to happen to the Cincinnati Reds after that. Embarrassing for them and great for the Milwaukee Brewers, especially after his fantastic performance from Corbin Burns tonight, 8 1/3 inning. And we'll hear from him after the game talk about his fantastic performance now on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show.
Corbin, can you share with us your thinking going into the game? You watched last night, such a grind, and you knew the situation in the bullpen. I know you'll say you go out there with the same mindset, but is that not even a little bit on your mind going into today?
Not really. I'm trying not to go out there and throw a complete game every time I get on the mound. So obviously after the first inning that wasn't looking too good with how many pitches we threw, but knowing that this Cincy lineup was going to come and keep swinging, we knew we had a chance to get the pitch count back down, and sure enough there for the first four or five innings, they came out swinging and then they started to take a little bit more. It was not something on the front of my mind to try to go as long as I could today, but whenever I can do that, it always helps.
What do you think has made this team as good as it's been on the road this year? You just get a road sweep now of the team closest to you in the standings.
I mean, I don't know. That's baseball. So some years you play good on the road, some years you don't. We happen to be a pretty good road team this year, and it's a credit to the hitters and the defense. They come out every day, playing their butt off. And, today they made some great plays behind me and swung the bat well. Made it pretty easy once, I think we scored about 4 runs in the 5th inning. So from there on after that, it was, hey, let's just attack the zone and be aggressive. So that's credit to them for scoring some runs there.
Corbin, is this a little bit of a statement after those guys come in and win the last three at American Family Field, you guys being able to sweep them here?
Yeah, whenever you can sweep a series, it's huge. We only got one more series against these guys. So to get our lead in the division up to 7 games is huge, knowing that we only got 3 more against them. So we just got to keep playing good baseball. We got a couple off days here this week, so we can keep everyone fresh and keep everyone feeling good going into August.
Corbin, to follow up on the mindset of wanting to go the distance every time, do you remember when today that seemed reasonable to you? You mentioned the pitch count early. When did you think, okay, I'm in position now to pitch all 9?
I don't think it was until I finished the 7th. That was kind of the first time that I looked up and saw that the pitch count, I think, was only maybe 75 or 80, somewhere in that range. So that was kind of the first time that it was like, hey, I got a chance to go the distance today. But, we just stuck to the game plan and just went out and kept tacking. And, we got some quick outs and some quick punch outs, so that helped keep the pitch count down most of the day.
Do you feel refreshed? I mean, you pitched a couple innings in the All-Star game, and those were, I imagine, pretty high-intensity innings. But just having a break between the starts, do you feel good?
Yeah, no, I felt good today. I was a little tired Wednesday and Thursday after all the festivities, and you don't really don't need to sleep too much for those 2 days that you're there. But coming out Friday and got some good sleep Friday and Saturday night, and you know, came out today feeling really good.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen. Forward thinking, you say. Well, he'll be back in the saddle on Tuesday. They have an off day tomorrow as your Milwaukee Brewers take on the Kansas City Royals. Eric Lauer on the bump for the crew, 3-4 on the season and a 3.83 ERA. He'll face Mike Minor of the Royals, 6-8, 5.67 ERA, and like double the innings. And the Royals, this is from Alec Lewis on Twitter. He's a Royals beat reporter. He says they've lost 29 out of their last 37, 17 of their last 21, and 6 of their last 7. They are 18 games under 500 right now. Now, we also said that when the Brewers went and played the Diamondbacks and were on, what was it, a 12-13 game winning streak earlier this season, and then lost to the Diamondbacks in Arizona. So it's very well possible the Brewers back home at American Family Field, which will surely help, their first game back home since the All-Star break. So a lot to look forward to there as Tim Allen's back on for the postgame show. That first pitch, by the way, moved from the original time, which was 7:10 to 3:10 p.m., like manager Craig Counsell said, because they're all Bucks fans too, and they also want to go and see the Milwaukee Bucks and their hopes of winning an NBA title. And you can hear Sparky on after that game on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show as well. So all that coverage on Tuesday and throughout the week here on The Fan, the best Brewers, best Bucks, best Packers coverage in the state is heard here on 1250 AM The Fan. Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen today. And we're also forward thinking not just to that game on Tuesday, those two games on Tuesday, I should say, but we're also forward thinking to the MLB trade deadline, which is about 2 weeks away, just under 2 weeks. July 30th, last day of the month, is the last day the Brewers can make a move. And when you see your team sweep the Reds in this three-game series out of the All-Star break to put the lead in the Central back up to 7, and then being just a couple games out of being the best team in baseball, you have to think that David Stearns is going to be aggressive, very aggressive, in this upcoming 2 weeks. They can add a bat. They should add a bat, in my opinion. They can add a bullpen arm, and they should add a bullpen arm or two, especially with we've seen how quickly a team can deteriorate. I mean, what was it, 17 guys for the Brewers at one point on the IL earlier this season, and now Devin Williams is out, and he's your setup man after trading JP Fireisen for Willie Adames. A great deal, no doubt, but there's a hole there in that bullpen. And it's been filled pretty well by Jake Cousins and a few other names throughout the bullpen. But to really have a guy you can trust in that seventh or maybe eighth inning, if Devin Williams is out for an extended period of time, is going to be crucial for this team. And who that is, I don't know. I guess I'm not fluent on bullpen arms that the Brewers should be looking at right now across the league. But for looking at a bat, I think that is what is really, really needed. I mean, Ken Westbend said in the first segment of the show he'd love to see Craig Kimbrell come to Milwaukee. And while that would be fantastic to pull him away from the Chicago Cubs, who are definitely going to be sellers in the next 2 weeks, I just don't know how plausible that is because of his contract and how much money Kimbrell is making. Evan Heffelfinger is alongside here today. And there are a couple names I know you really would like to see in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform in the next 2 weeks. And one, we would probably disagree with in Joey Gallo. Tell me why you want Joey Gallo to be a Milwaukee Brewer. And you can join the conversation too at 414-799-1250 to join Dan Plucker and Evan Heffelfinger on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin baseball postgame show driven by Great Lakes Dragaway.
Now, I'm biased. I think Joey Gallo. Votto would be interesting too. Joey Gallo has some of, I think he's safe to say, some of the best raw power we've ever seen come across in Major League Baseball.
For sure.
His biggest problem is obviously he is the greatest three true outcome player, maybe in baseball history. But I feel like that's kind of how this Brewers roster is set up. They need someone who can hit for contact. Yes, I think that's a given. But you look at a guy like Joey Gallo, who has otherworldly power from the left side in a ballpark that plays really well to left-handed power hitters. His average is up to almost 240 on the season, which for a guy who strikes out almost 50% of the time, that's pretty good.
And that's right around where Christian Yelich is right now too, actually.
He's leading the league in walks right now. He's getting on base 40% of the time, like Christian Yelich. His slugging is over 500 right now. He plays gold glove defense at center field, right field, left field, first base, and third base.
Yeah.
That kind of versatility is someone right up the sleeve of David Stearns and Craig Counsell. He's a free agent.
He'd be a rental player, correct. He's a free agent at the end of the year and probably going to get paid by somebody if I had to venture a guess.
The problem is I think some teams like the Yankees I saw are in on him. I think some big spenders are in. I don't know if we have the prospects for it, but that's a guy I'd like. Another guy who I think is going under the radar and could be a really good guy to get is Ian Kennedy of the Rangers.
Okay.
He's their closer.
Closer.
Mm-hmm. He has a sub-3 ERA this season, has 15 saves. He looks pretty good, and you don't even need him to be the closer. You just need a leverage guy. He's a rental. He's 36 years old. You don't expect to have him for more than 1 year. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't cost more than a Corey Ray, even if that. It might be someone a lot less in value than Corey Ray to get a solid bullpen arm. We saw yesterday you can't trust Brad Boxberger, and now he's hurt too.
Yeah.
Devin is hurt. Hunter Strickland is great. He's not going to continue to throw up zeros every single time. Same with Jake Cousins. Mm-hmm. Same with Miguel Sanchez. They're not going to put up these zeros.
Probably
you need
not.
A guy who's done it before, and I would probably say Ian Kennedy.
That's the one thing that's missing from this pen, because even with Devin Williams being the second best pitcher in the bullpen, he has not even one full season of experience yet in his career.
Right.
And so to add a veteran arm in that pen, and probably a lefty, for being quite frank, maybe a righty, but I think a lefty is probably more valuable at this point.
They think too highly of Brent Suter to do that, though.
That's fair, but I would love to see another veteran, talented bullpen arm added to this group who's already performing really well, but could be that much better. And can you imagine just having a combo like Ken and West Bend was saying of like a Hader Kimbrel to close out a game? That just sounds mortifying for opposing batters.
That's how it's been for the last like 4 years for the Brewers. We have been so spoiled. And now that we don't have it, we want it back.
Exactly. But what the Brewers do have is dominant starting pitching. I can tell you that's one area they will not be adding.
No.
I would be stunned if they added another starting rotation arm, which is so crazy to think about and say when at the beginning of this year, we thought it was Brandon Woodruff, maybe Corbin Burns, maybe Freddie Peralta, and then question mark. But it's actually been Burns, Freddie, or Woodruff. Hauser's been pretty good, and then five being a Brett Anderson and Eric Lauer somewhere in that, and now a six man as well in that rotation, probably moving forward for quite a while still. But where I would love to add still is on the offensive end, and with Joey Gallo, like you said, I think that would be an interesting prospect, and he would fit this Brewers team all too well with their home run strikeout mentality. And everybody wants Trevor Story. And I think that's just the obvious one. Trevor Story is a fantastic baseball player. He's one of the best both fielders and hitters in baseball. And he has the potential to be a focal point and a turning point to this team going forward. But I think they already made that move with Willy Adames. Like, I don't know. And like Trevor Story, I don't think that they're gonna throw all of their best prospects to get a guy who's a rental for just a couple of months. And especially when there are all these other teams that are going to be going after him as well. Well, hopefully I'm wrong. I would love to see that. But I just don't know if Trevor Story is going to be the guy for the Brewers.
What position would he play, too? Would they move Willie?
That's the other question. Like, would Trevor Story play third? Would he be okay with playing third? Is he really going to want to come to Milwaukee when he's probably thinking in his own brain that he's going to go to a big city to help out a World Series team, which the Brewers are a World Series team.
Gleyber Torres is struggling in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there are just too many of those where it's like, oh, the Yankees would spend everything to get this guy and then immediately sign him to an extension. And if you're Trevor Story or Joey Gallo, I feel like that makes way more sense than him potentially coming to Milwaukee. But some names to watch out for. I would love Eduardo Escobar, switch hitting, power on the right side specifically. Infielder and outfielder, can play third, can play in the outfield. Another name I would love to look out for, Trey Mancini, who'd probably not cost you as much, play first base, add a little bit of pop there. And then if you still decide to platoon at first with Rowdy Tellez or Dan Vogelbach, whichever lefty wins that matchup, and Trey Mancini as well in the lineup, I think that would just be so much fun to watch. And there's so much opportunity there as well. And long term, if they're going to make a move kind of similar to a Willy Adames move, where it's a guy that has controllable years under his belt, because both those two, I believe, are free agents after this season, is Ketel Marte, who has a couple years left on team ownership and is an extremely valuable player for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Can play short, can play in the outfield, can play third base probably if he was asked to do it. He's played second as well. He plays everywhere on the infield and outfield outside of first base and catcher, and I think he can perform anywhere well for this Brewers team. So if they bring him, and he's another switch-hitting bat as well to add to this lineup, who can play for whoever is pitching and hit 300, 280 in that range, and a couple of bombs as well, bring some speed to the roster. I would love a player like Ketel Marte on the Brewers. And that's just what the most exciting thing about this is there's so much opportunity, and you expect the Brewers to be extremely involved in this trade deadline going forward as buyers, as they're right there. They are on the precipice of a World Series, which could come right after the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA Finals. Will be so fascinating to see how David Stearns handle this, because at the same time, we're talking about them and adding all of this talent that they could do, but Kane's coming back, Vogelbach's coming back, Colton Wong is coming back. All these dudes are still coming back into the lineup, which they might consider good enough on the offensive end. And is that flawed thinking? I don't think so. I don't necessarily think so. We'll see. It's going to be an exciting next couple of weeks and an exciting remainder of the season for your Milwaukee Brewers as they sweep the Cincinnati Reds 8-0 today. Corbin Burns, fantastic yet again, solidifying his Cy Young conversation. It's been Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. And if I don't talk to you again here, I'll talk to you there. Have a great one, Milwaukee.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.